latest from the world of technology. This is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want that to be light. We want that to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide, episode 29. Coming to you, not exactly from the Tech Guide studios. I'm still here in the US following the Consumer Electronics Show. And we'll be looking back at CES. My name is Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au. And as I mentioned, the consumer electronics has just come to a close late last week. Plenty of new products, exciting new products and technologies announced. And we're going to be taking a look back over the show, the standout products for us in this episode of Tech Guide. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lot to get through right here on Tech Guide. Well, everybody knows that when you buy technology, it's a bit of a risk. The risk that the technology you're buying could get old very quickly. And that's a very common trend when you're talking about tech. Anyone who's got a gadget or some kind of product that's 3-4 years old, it looks positively ancient compared to a lot of the products you can buy today. And TV is probably one of the biggest products we'll buy in the home, and one of those types of products that moves along very quickly. The technology improves quite often, and every year all the companies release a brand new panel, and this year's Consumer Electronics Show was no exception. We saw new TVs from all the major brands, LG, Panasonic, Samsung, Sony, and many other players too that are in the television space. But one common thing is they've all got one type of technology that in the years to come is going to be improved. Things get faster, things get better, things look different interfaces. And Samsung came up with a product that was announced before, but this is the very first time that I've actually seen the product in the flesh. And the concept behind it is very clever. What we're talking about is the Samsung Evolution Kit. Now, Samsung introduced their range of TVs last year, the 2012 Smart TV range, which are upgradable televisions using Samsung's very own Evolution Kit. Now, the Evolution Kit, it's about the size of a couple of decks of cards, and it is a product designed to fit into a special port on the back of this class of Samsung Smart TVs, LED TVs, which can be upgraded using this Evolution Kit. Now, what's involved? If a customer has bought a 2012 TV, for example, and they want to get the 2013 features that will be on the latest versions of the Smart TV, they simply have to buy the Samsung Evolution Kit. It's going to be, from what we're hearing, priced around $249. And as I mentioned, it's a small black box that fits into the back of the television. And what it does, it upgrades the TV software and interface. So it will upgrade it to the very latest version. So all the features included on the very latest model are going to be updated using the Evolution Kit. Now, the even better part of that is that very often it's a hardware upgrade that we see on the televisions, including the processor. Samsung made a point of explaining that the processors within their smart TVs are actually quad-core processors. And what the Evolution Kit includes is, guess what it is, a quad-core processor. You guessed it right. Now, what happens when you attach this Evolution Kit? The quad-core processor aboard the Evolution Kit becomes the master processor, and it is the processor that runs the TV, apart as well as, of course, upgrading the software, upgrading the interface, so you look like you have a 2013 TV in the 2012 body and design. What else also comes with the Evolution Kit is the remote control, a very important important inclusion when you consider many of the features are tied into and being operated by that the new remote control. So that's also what is included with the Evolution kit. It's one of those things that gives customers a lot of peace of mind, because let's face it, there's going to be people spending several thousand dollars on this investment, and having the knowledge of the fact that it can be upgraded for around $250, maybe not every year, maybe every second year or third year, because the customer obviously wants to keep up with the latest technology. It's good to know that this is a possibility. The Samsung Evolution Kit, it'll be available later this year, priced around $249 is what we're hearing, but it'll keep your technology up to date, a very rare thing that we see nowadays.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
Now, we saw many, many products here at the show, but one of them that stood out for us, I think in our top five products of CES, was a little product from LG. It's a laser TV projector. Now, anyone who knows projectors and how they work, it's quite simple. The projector beams an image onto the wall. And generally, what's required, if you're after a big size screen, say 100-inch plus screen, there is what they call a throw distance. This is the distance the projector has to be away from the screen to create an image of a certain size. For example, if you want an 110-inch image with a projector, you may have to take that projector back 5 meters away from the wall, away from the screen, so the projector has its throw length, throw distance, can accommodate that size screen. With that in mind, we've had a look at LG's new laser TV projector and were amazed by the fact that you can actually project a 100-image picture using LG's product from only 56 centimeters from the screen. That's just over 2 feet, not even 2 feet, away from the screen. 22 inches it is in the old scale. Now, this is not only impressive from a projector point of view, but you think of the results you have. It's quite easy to set up. It sits on a low boy, on an entertainment unit, and the actual beam, the lens and the laser light source actually shoot backwards and are reflected off a mirror and then are projected onto a 100-inch screen. The screen comes with the product so that you can create this 100-inch picture from a projector that doesn't need to be mounted on a ceiling, a distance away from the wall. It can be simply sat in front of this screen, only 56 centimeters away, to create the 100-inch picture. More good news about this product. It's got a built-in TV tuner, just like you would with a plasma or LED TV. It also has speakers, but that won't stop users from actually adding home theater speakers or a sound bar to enhance the sound. But you think about what you're getting here with this projector, a 100-inch picture. Now, this isn't going to be a cheap product. It's going to be about $9,000. But for your money, you're going to get a 100-inch picture that, from what I saw on the stand, and the stand was in actually quite bright light. It was a pretty brightly lit booth. The picture quality was still exceptional, and you could still make the picture out quite well. So it's a product you'd be able to use even during the day. Now, I'm keen to get my hands on this product to review it and to see how that picture compares when you're in darker conditions, because I'd say the picture quality would improve significantly under those darker conditions. But it did perform pretty well in the bright lights of the LG booth at CES. Now that you think of the other advantage of this, you can create, for $9,000, you're getting a 100-inch picture. And the beauty of it being a projected image is the fact that there's no need to have a cable up on the wall, put cables down behind the wall, down to your entertainment unit. The screen is a standalone screen. No wires, very easy to install. You're not having a heavy screen, a heavy panel on your wall. So it's quite easy to install. Now, the advantage then of the projector having the tuner built in means you can attach other sources from within the entertainment unit beneath it. So it's actually quite hidden away, a very, very good way to set it up. But people thinking, well, $9,000 for a 100-inch TV? Well, if you were to buy a 100-inch LED TV or a 100-inch plasma, you'll be paying a lot more than that. You'll be paying $40,000, $50,000, perhaps $60,000 for the same result. So I think this is a sort of product, I think, that once you get in front of it, once you actually can see the quality of the product, you'll be very impressed. We've got a full story about that at techguide.com.au. Now, there were all types of products at the Consumer Electronics Show, and one little product actually caught our eye as well. It's a watch. A watch from Casio, a company very well known for producing great quality watches, including their very popular G-Shock range. Now, one difference that we saw with one particular product, the product number's GB6900AA, was the fact that it had Bluetooth on board. Now, Bluetooth is very handy for linking to other devices. In this case, the Casio G-Shock Bluetooth Edition can link with the iPhone. Using a special app, of course, so you can create the link. And there are several advantages of having this pairing with between the iPhone and the watch. The first one, which comes from the app as well, is being able to set the time. It's quite easy. So whatever time is running on the phone will automatically be transferred to the linked phone, the phone linked by Bluetooth, the linked watch, the Casio watch in this case, the time will adjust automatically. This is really handy when you consider when you land in a foreign country. What happens as soon as your phone finds a network, finds and starts roaming on another network? My phone did this here when I arrived in the US for CES. It automatically switched to US time. Now imagine how handy it is for your watch to do that automatically as well. Well, having that Bluetooth connection, that's exactly the result you're going to get. So that's advantage number one. And another advantage too, a very handy one too, is having notifications, knowing when you've received an email, knowing when you have an SMS, knowing when you're receiving a call, and perhaps even seeing who is making the call. Just a simple glance of the wrist will know whether there is these things waiting for you on the phone. That's very handy. But there are other things too that can make this feature really useful. One of them is not forgetting where your phone is. I'm sure many of you can relate to this. You don't know where you put your phone. It's definitely at home. Has it fallen down the couch? Is it in your office under a pile of papers? Well, if you can't find your phone, you can simply press a button on the Casio Bluetooth watch that's linked to this particular iPhone to make the phone emit a loud sound. Even if the phone's on silent, it will make a noise so that you can find it. That is a very handy feature. But there's another feature for those forgetful people who sometimes leave their phone behind. Now, what happens with the Casio watch that's associated with the iPhone? Once the connection is lost, you'll feel a vibrating alert to say, whoops, you've left your phone behind. The distance, the Bluetooth range has been broken. I can't talk to the iPhone anymore. And it will remind you, it'll give you a little vibration alert to say the phone's out of range, I've lost connection. You've probably left it on the table of the cafe or the restaurant or left it in a cab or something like that. It'll give you an alert straight away as soon as that link is lost. So that's something to look forward to. It's available already for $180 US, the Casio Bluetooth G-Shock GB6900AA. And I've written a little report at techguide.com.au.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, Kogan is in the news again, and we saw last month Kogan launched the Kogan Mobile Service, where he's actually reselling the Telstra network in a prepaid fashion for $29 a month. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, and 6 gigabytes of data. It's cheaper if you go for 3 months at a time. I think it's $79. If you go for 12 months, it's $299. So pretty good value. Now, Kogan, who was in Las Vegas for CES, has actually followed up that news and that release with his own smartphone. He's launched the Kogan Agora smartphone. And the beauty of this device is there's several attractive features here. First of all, it's got a huge 5-inch screen. It's got a dual-core Cortex A9 processor operating at 1 gigahertz. It's got a 5-megapixel camera. And it's also got 4 gig of internal memory and a micro SD card slot. So if you want to expand that memory even further, you can. Well, there's two other features here that are quite eye-catching. The first is the price. It's only $149. That's for a 5-inch tablet, a 5-inch smartphone, I should say. But, well, 5 inches, it's big enough to almost be a tablet. But that doesn't end there. Another top-shelf feature that I quite like is the fact that it's got dual SIM card slots. So you can put two SIM cards in this product. You can put one 3G SIM and then another one that can run on 2G. But you consider how handy this is for many people, for business people, for tradesmen who need to carry possibly two mobile phones. So that they can even label the SIM cards, give each a name, so they can clearly identify which SIM card the call's coming into, which call they want to make it from. So very easy to do that. You can even receive two calls at the same time and switch between the two calls. But it's also handy for travellers as well who maybe need to keep their Australian number handy, but also maybe have a number for the network, the overseas network they happen to be using at the time. So they can keep track of two networks on the same device rather than having two separate smartphones, which is exactly what I'm doing here in the US. I've got a one phone with my American SIM, and I'm also carrying my Australian number as well. I've got to carry two phones around, but if I had the Kogan Agora smartphone, then that wouldn't be the case. I could carry them all in one. Now, this isn't the first time Kogan has tried to launch a smartphone. He did attempt this back in 2008, he did sort of put out a little statement to say that was going to be the case back then, but he ran into some hurdles. This is it in his own words, hurdles that were outside his control, and the project had to be scrapped. But here we are, 5 years later, and he has stuck to his guns and put out the Kogan Agora, which from what we're hearing has gone on a lot of pre-orders. It goes on sale. It's available early February. It's pre-ordered from kogan.com/au if you want to pre-order the Kogan Agora smartphone. Now, we have to say, we had a look at the device. It's got an 800x480 resolution, 5-inch screen, running Android 4.04 operating system. We've got our hands on it at CES. And look, pound for pound, dollar for dollar, this is a very good value phone. Now, it doesn't have a Super AMOLED screen. It doesn't have an 8 or 12 or 13 megapixel camera. There are a lot of features you won't find on this phone. But for someone who wants a basic smartphone with a very generous size screen and the ability to download all their favorite apps and to have a smartphone without the need to be tied into a contract, and they can buy this device outright for only $149. The Kogan Agora, available for pre-order now. And I have written a report at techguide.com.au. I've even included some pictures. I've even included a picture of the back of the device, which looks remarkably like the original Samsung Galaxy Note. I don't know whether that's a coincidence or not. But anyway, that is what it is. And from what we're hearing, it's selling very well already. And of course, he's going to bundle in a Kogan mobile SIM card in case people want to activate that service on their Kogan Agora smartphone. Full report at techguide.com.au. Well, the Tech Guide podcast is brought to you by the good people at Netgear. Did you or someone in your household get a new tablet or smartphone for Christmas? Well, with the amount of mobile devices now connecting to the home, a solid Wi-Fi connection is more important than ever. So if you're experiencing any annoying Wi-Fi dead spots around your home, when using your mobile or wireless devices, Netgear has a range of Wi-Fi extenders that will boost your existing wireless signal and improve your online experience. Universal compatibility means you can keep all of your current wireless equipment, and CD-less installation makes setup easy on mobile devices. Netgear has a Wi-Fi extender to suit any size household, from the compact wall plug Wi-Fi booster for mobile up to the 4-port dual band Wi-Fi range extender, which is perfect for streaming HD video content and maximizing your online home theater experience. So if you want to stay connected and boost your Wi-Fi coverage to improve your online experience in every corner of your home, check out Netgear's Wi-Fi range extenders at netgear.com.au/boost my Wi-Fi. Now, it was a few weeks ago now when we brought you news of Belkin's new Wemo home automation switch. Well, Belkin are at it again with a brand new product that will be introduced into Australia later this year. Now, for those who weren't listening to our earlier podcast, the Wemo is a home automation solution that allows people to connect it to the Wi-Fi plug. The Wemo plug looks like a wall adapter, so it plugs into your PowerPoint. Then the product you want to control is then plugged into the Wemo automated switch. And what this allows you to do is to link the wireless switch. You can connect to it via the Wemo app on your iPhone at this stage. And what it allows you to do, allows you to turn that device on and off and even let you see whether it's on and off on your iPhone and lets you control that anywhere in the world, whether you are over internet, if you've got a Wi-Fi, 4G, 3G, lets you control that. So if you have left home, left the lamp on, left the iron on, you can see on your phone whether that is on the app, whether it is actually on or off. If it is on, you can turn it right off no matter where you are, as long as you've got a connection, like I said, over 3G, 4G, or over Wi-Fi. Now, what Belkin has done at this year's CES has announced an addition to the Wemo family, and this is a light switch. So rather than having to replace all the wiring in your house to create a wireless lighting solution, all you need to do is install the Belkin Wemo light switch. So replace the faceplate on your light switch, replace it with the Wemo switch, and it creates a wireless connection, a switch that can be wirelessly controlled. So you can add these features then to your smartphone so you can control your devices and now your lighting. So this is a handy feature. The Wemo also comes with a motion sensor, which allows people to set rules when the motion sensor is activated. Say, for example, someone walks past the motion sensor, it can activate a set of instructions. Say, yeah, if it does this, do that. So if a person walks past the sensor, you may program the system to turn a light on or to turn a light off or turn the oven on or off, little things like that, which can all be programmed into the Wemo app that's found on iPhone at the moment, but it will also be released on Android early in 2013. So in the coming weeks and months, we'll see the Android version of the Wemo app also introduced. But that's an interesting type of technology there that a lot of people will be interested in. For those who want to take more control, so many handy uses for the Wemo. Especially if you want to turn switches on remotely, maybe you want to turn your air conditioner on, it's a hot day, you're coming home, you want the house cool before you get home, this is a way you can do it. You may want to turn your oven on before you get home. The washing machine, the dryer, plenty of uses for this type of product. If you want to have a look at what the Belkin Home Wemo light switch looks like, there's a picture and also a short video at techguide.com.au.
Answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Our help desk this week is actually an extension of a question I was asked on the radio. I feature on 2GB on Mondays and Wednesdays and answer listeners' questions. One question was, I thought, quite interesting that we should expand on here on the Tech Guide podcast, and that's 3D. There's a lot of people out there that don't really have a lot of faith in 3D. They're hearing reports that it's no good, and you know they only hear the horror stories. But I think it's important to talk about the types of 3D that are available and what people should look for, and just to explain the difference between active and passive, and little things like that. Okay, so 3D TVs have been around for about 3 years now. I think the 2010 Consumer Electronics Show was dominated by 3D televisions. It was 3D was the message everywhere. And it caused a lot of confusion in the market. There were a lot of people who thought, well, it's a 3D TV, but is that all it can do? Can it play 2D TV? There's a bit of confusion. The TVs, the companies decided that they're going to go all the way with 3D, and people thought that it was 3D or nothing. A lot of people didn't realize that 3D was just a feature of the TV rather than being the only thing the TV can do. And I think that sort of 3D, I think, may have overpromised but underdelivered in those early times. What didn't help it was the fact there wasn't that much content available. So that also impacted on 3D and its take up in Australia. But I think that's settled now. There's a few, there's a lot of content around. And of course, every TV now, I think it'd be harder to not to buy a TV without 3D than to buy one with 3D. So I think it we should take some time to explain the differences between active and passive, and also to chat about how some people can't watch 3D. It just gives them headaches, or they're just not tuned to watch it properly. But anyway, let's talk about active versus passive. Now, active glasses, as their name suggests, they do something while you're watching 3D. They have to be active. Now, 3D active glasses are used by Sony, Samsung, and Panasonic. And what it involves, they're active because they're battery operated, they need to be powered, and they need to sync with the television. So they need to be in tune with the TV. So they can each lens is actually a shutter. They're called active shutter glasses. So to create the 3D effect, you need to see a different image in each eye almost simultaneously. So what the glasses do is open and close each lens, left eye, right eye, 100 times a second, so that your brain thinks it's receiving a left and right image almost at the same time as they would in real life. Image into the left eye, image into the right eye that looks 3D. And your brain is fooled into thinking that the image they're watching is 3D. Now, this active solution, the active 3D, is not for everyone. I've heard reports of people being unable to watch 3D, active 3D. They get a headache. They get dizzy. It just doesn't agree with them. And that's just how they are. It's a subjective thing. It's not for everybody. But for those who can handle that, I'm one of them. I'm a big fan of active 3D because it gives you the highest quality of 3D in the market at the moment. And I'll talk more about at the moment a little bit later. Active 3D gives you full high definition 3D images, just as good as you'd see in the movies. Right, let's move on to passive 3D. We've already talked about active. Passive 3D is where you're using glasses that aren't battery operated. They're lightweight plastic glasses that are used in the cinema. Now, there's one company that's right behind passive 3D, and that's LG with their Cinema 3D range. Now, what happens with the passive glasses? You can watch the TV they're using these polarized glasses, and they get the 3D effect in a slightly different way, of course, than the active way. But what happens is that using this method, the resolution suffers. So anyone watching passive TV from a full high definition television, you're halving your resolution. So rather than watching 1,080 lines, you're watching 540 lines, which is still good quality and enjoyable, and far less taxing for those people who can't handle the active glasses. It's still 3D, but not the full HD 3D. Now, you may have recalled in the last week's show and in the weeks gone by, we've spoken about ultra-high definition and 4K and that type of technology. Well, the good news is that the ultra-high definition and 4K TVs are actually four times the resolution of a full HD television. Now, this has its advantages when it comes to 3D because theoretically, you can use now passive glasses on these ultra high definition screens, which will halve the resolution. Okay, it's 2160 is the number of lines on an ultra HD TV, which is twice 1080. So if you use passive glasses and it halves those lines, you're getting 1080 lines, which is the full HD resolution. So you'll find that I understand Sony is going to be one of these companies. They're going to offer passive glasses with their ultra HD TVs, or 4K as they call them, so that you can enjoy your 3D with lightweight passive glasses. Now, the other advantage of having lightweight passive glasses is the fact that they're not expensive, they don't need to be charged, and they're very lightweight. How often people have wanted to watch a 3D movie, they've got out the active glasses, and they're all out of charge. They all need to be recharged. You're not going to sit there for an hour and a half waiting for your 3D glasses to be recharged if they aren't already. So oftentimes people don't bother to watch the movie in 3D. It's too much of an inconvenience. Passive glasses, that problem doesn't exist. So for passive users, people who view 3D with passive glasses, report far less trouble with them. I think it doesn't mess with their eyes or doesn't cause any headaches or dizziness. So there is an option. And the good news is that that option will be full HD once we get in the 4K and ultra high definition TVs in our home. So that's 3D explained. I took a bit of time there because I get asked this question a fair bit. The difference between active and passive. Is 3D any good? Yes, it is. I love 3D. I love good 3D. And I prefer full HD 3D. And I can use the active glasses. It doesn't affect me at all, but I can't speak for everyone. There are some people who do have headaches, who can't handle it very well, and they choose to either watch the TV in 2D or to try it in passive. Some of them like that. Others just don't bother and just keep watching it in 2D. That's 2D to 3D explained. I hope you understood that. And, you know, it's something 3D is not going to go away. There's going to be a lot more content in the future. And I think the sooner we understand it, first of all, and also get in front of them. If you're thinking of buying a 3D TV, get down to the store, ask to watch it in 3D, whether it's passive or active. See if it affects you. If you're comfortable with it, make sure you try before you buy. Very important thing to do. We try to give you the best advice here at Tech Guide, and that is one that we'd love everyone to take notice of. Try before you buy. Well, that's the end of another show. Our next show will be broadcast when we're back in Australia. We'll be back later this week, but we thought we'd go back and record one last one while we're here in the US. We'd like to thank you for your company tonight. We hope you enjoyed it. We'd also like to hear from you too, so feel free to get in touch with us by emailing us here at info@techguide.com.au. And you can also send us your help desk questions or your opinions to the Tech Guide Forum. That's where we get most of our help desk questions. We love to hear from our readers. And you never know, your question may just be read out here on the Tech Guide podcast. And I'd also like to thank Netgear, our sponsors, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products that can get the most out of your home network. We'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, stay connected.